Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a good week. We're midway through and keep on pressing on, right? We have been breaking down Psalms 4. About 2 weeks ago, we looked at, we did a part two. And tonight, we're looking at a part three here. If you want to go back to part one, it's probably several weeks, but it's on here. The thing is, to get the full, blessing or understanding of this message that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart is to go back and look at part one and then part two. And tonight will be part three. It may turn into a part four, so four before, right? So a lot of things going on tonight. If you have your Bibles, let's go there to Psalms 4. We'll read the verse and pray, and then we'll start breaking a little bit more of this down tonight. So Psalms 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Has enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayers. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Shallah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself, and the Lord will hear when I call upon them, unto them. Stand in awe, sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, put your trust in the Lord. There may be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thy up the light of thy countenance upon us, that has put gladness in my heart more than the time that their corn and their wine increase. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thy Lord only awaketh me to dwell in safety. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, to go into your word. I pray that you just be with me. I pray those that are listening tonight, wherever they're going through, the things they may be experiencing, God, give them strength to endure. Give them strength to press on, even when it doesn't look like they have any strength. Our strength comes from the Lord, and we cling to that, and we understand that we're able to keep pressing forward, pressing to that mark, because this world has an expiration date. We're not promised tomorrow. Today could be our last day, but we know you're coming soon. And thank God for that. It's a joyful thing for a Christian when we get to see you, Jesus, face to face. But it's a sad thing knowing that many who have turned their backs, and those within our church are faking it, professing something they're not in their heart so far from you, God. Lord, we pray for them, and our hearts are burdened for them, that they don't wait too long. That they realize the life they're living is not the life that you've set them for, Lord. And you call us for so much more. To be the disciples that you need us to be. In a world that's growing hostile every day toward you. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when we look at this psalm, and we looked at the first verse here. You can see where David's crying out to God. This is his prayer. This is his worship. This is his praise to God. And when God said, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." To enlarge, that is to make large, right? David's saying here, enlarge me when I was past tense in distress. that has enlarged me when I was in distress. That's past tense. And some of us may relate to this. I know I surely can relate to it. None of us are immune from distress. Charles F. Glassman said, stress can destroy much more than just our physical health. Too often it eats away at our hope, belief, and faith. See, none of us are immune from this stress. It's what we call distress, as the what physicians would call and psychologists would call and bad stress. But we should not experience the stress as others. As a child of God, we know that God is with us. Deuteronomy 31:6 tells us, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that do good with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And that promise rolls over into Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's such a beautiful. I don't know if you've seen those movies with the ships in the midst of a storm, and you know, and they're fearing for their life, and they send out a distress signal, praying for, or hoping for, or seeking for rescue. You see, as children in that storm in life, God is with us. When we send out that distress signal, we don't have to wait. It's amazing because he is right there with us to rescue us. We may have to get out of the way, because if you're like me, you're always trying to fix it. Figure it out. It's in my hands. Let me figure it out. God, take a step. I got this. It fails me every time. But I found when I just give him the pain, and I give him the suffering that I'm feeling, and all the tears that I'm crying in that moment of desperation. You see, storms in life can be rough. We may have to endure them. And in our eyes, it seems like they last forever. But in God's eyes, he is right there with us during the whole storm. He will provide that peace and that hope and that joy and that comfort within that storm. When everything is falling apart from our perspective. But from God's perspective, everything is falling into place. How we will define rescue. How this world will define rescue is not exactly how God defines rescue. See, God will rescue from that storm, but he needs you to grow within there. It's a form of what I would call a process of I guess, getting stronger. It is getting stronger. So it's a process of growing, and he really is rescuing us as we grow within that storm. Because he is shaping us and crafting us into the disciples that he needs us to be. Without those storms in life, we would not grow. It's really just a human condition. I know me personally, without a storm or two in my life, or you know, or storms throughout the month or whatever, I would not grow in Christ. I would tend to try to get more comfortable. It's really a human condition for us to draw more away from those storms. But the storms force us to grow. And thank God for the storms, although they don't feel like blessings when we're going through them. And I think of Matthew 8:23-26, where, you know, the disciples are in that ship, that boat, and they encounter a storm. And Jesus is, he's not concerned about that storm, because he is the master of the storm. But they believe they're going to die. And of course, Jesus spoke to that physical storm and it disappeared. And then Jesus spoke to their spiritual storm that was going inside the disciples, that fear and that lack of faith. And we can have that spirit of fear within those storms. And we can have that lack of faith. We could just be going through life right now and everything could be just, you know, I mean, beautiful and the sun's shining and suddenly that storm hits and bam, there it is. A car strikes you out of nowhere. You get sick. You lose a loved one. You lose a job. And it just rocks you. It rocks you to the core. And then there's the devil with that spirit of fear. You just lost your job. How are you going to pay your bills? If you have children, how are you going to pay for their dental bills and their medical bills? And how are you going to provide for your family? It just all rushes in. That spirit of fear just grips your heart and paints you into a corner. It just puts you in that corner. And the devil's like, where is your God now? Why would he let this happen to you? If he loves you. Oh, the lies that he whispers. In those moments of challenges. What I have found. I have to get out of the way. I know Jonathan, and I know what Jonathan wants to do. And I'm not perfect. I still struggle. But what I found in my past and the present and things that will come, because I'm not immune from those storms, is when I give those storms, those situations, those challenges to God, fully giving them to God. Here it is, God. Okay, I lost my job. I don't know what to do next. But I know that you have a plan for me, because you will never leave me or forsake me. There is a purpose for this. And you take that and all the lies that the enemy tries to hit you with. You just go through, you go into the scripture, you get deeper into the word of God. Your life becomes a life of prayer. You pray harder, although you should have been praying before then, because prayer is like preempted, meaning we pray and we pray. We get our heart right every day. When we do encounter those things in life, it don't hit us as hard because we have that confidence. We have that trust. We have that faith that our God will come through. And all the lies that the enemy wants to tell us, already we know when the enemy whispers those lies, those negative thoughts. And I know somebody at the sound of my voice is experiencing those right now, or you have experienced those. You gotta realize, as a child of God, we know through scripture that our God will follow through and he will take care He will take care one way or the other of His children. We may not understand exactly how that will play out, but through the scriptures, we can cling to and find that hope. And David got that. In verse 1, he is speaking to God, which we discussed in part 1 and part 2. He said, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness, that has enlarged me when I was in distress," meaning, "I have seen your hand in motion." And David continues to have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Our God is a God of mercy. You know how I look at mercy, how I define mercy, and I'm not the one that coined this. I read it somewhere. So it should be like a general, reference. Is God spares us from the bad things that we do deserve. You see, we deserve hell. It's really that simple. I know we want to try to complicate it. At the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they disobey a direct commandment. God spoke it. It was, "Do not eat of that tree." And when they decided to disobey God, listening to the lies of the enemy, and you can follow that course in Genesis 2 and 3. I encourage you guys to go through those passages. And it really, you see, Satan doesn't change his tactics. They're the same over and over and over. And the thing is, they work. So he keeps on doing them, and they will keep on working to the very end. So we have that playbook. We have the Bible. We can become a knowledge, have that knowledge of what our enemy is trying to do over and over and over again. And see, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, he could have ended right then and there. But he didn't. You will see that in Genesis 3:15 was the promise, when the prophetic promise of the Messiah. And then a little bit after that, in Genesis 3:21 was where the first animal sacrifices were given. Blood had to be shed, and when you take that, you and you look at Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all those, you will see that this, the sacrificing of the animals, the atonement of blood, it was only what we would say, I would say a band-aid. You know, if a kid walks up to you and they got a cut on their arm, and you're like, throw a band-aid on it, you know, put a band-aid on it. It's only temporary. It should heal. If it don't heal, then you have to take them to the doctor and get a medicine, or you can go to the store now and pick up, or you can Google, or, I mean, knowledge is, we're vast in knowledge. We have many computers, which are called cell phones, on us. But see, Jesus Christ came. He is the ultimate sacrifice, right? 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again upon a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Blessed be our God, our Father, Lord Jesus Christ," that is, according to His abundant mercy, His mercy overflows, "which He has given us through Jesus Christ and that death on that cross, the atonement of the blood that was shed, right? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin. No forgiveness of sin. And you can flip over to Romans 5 and read verse 1 and read it all the way. Read that whole chapter, and it gives you a layout what sin and Adam and Eve and that justification and atonement of the blood that had to be shed. We are saved through His blood, as Romans 5 tells us. Romans chapter 5. I encourage you guys to read that. And because of this, we have that lively hope. Lively hope, meaning it is alive, it is breathing. That we know that whatever we're going through in this life is only temporary. It's only temporary. We may look across at those, and it breaks my heart. It really does. You look at all the kids that are starving, and we have in America, many kids are going hungry tonight, and that breaks my heart. But if you look at the third world countries and you see the children, they're hungry, and you look at it and you're like, what is going on? It's not God's fault. First, we want to point fingers and blame God. It's our fault. That is the curse of humanity. And God, through His Son, said this life is only temporary. The things that you're experiencing in this life is only temporary. I am coming back for my children. We live in a cursed world. And because of the cursed world, we have a cursed government system. In the reality, if we practice what God has set up in the scriptures, not one child would be going hungry tonight. That's just reality, but this is Satan's world, and we live in a curse, and that's why we have it. We are to blame, and I know that's not popular, because everybody wants to blame somebody else. Once again, go to Genesis, look at Eve and Adam, very beginning. Eve pointed to the serpent, Adam pointed to Eve, and then ultimately they both pointed to God. Is that woman that you gave me? Well, Adam, but they collectively they were one, so they were both at fault. So, is that woman you gave me, God? You shouldn't have done it. It was not God's fault. As the very beginning, so is how we are now. It's our state, and to recognize that and admit that and confess that is a beginning of wisdom and understanding. This is my human nature. I want to blame others for my actions, and man, could America use that? All this behavior that's very negative, but they're pointing blame at everybody else, when they should be pointing at themselves. And David continues to hear my prayer. God hears His children's prayers. Sometimes it's not the answers we want, but it's the answers we need to hear. Sometimes it's no. Oh, we don't like hearing no. I know I don't. Sometimes maybe it's maybe later. You gotta wait for it. Patience. And of course, our favorite answer that we all love is yes. You can, some of you guys may have had children, and when they're babies, And when you tell them no, and I've seen this from just watching, they don't really respond very well to the word no. Even when they get a little bit older, still that is a... And the thing is, even when we get older, that word no can sting a little bit too. But all we love hearing yes. You know, when we're praying, we're positioning our hearts before God. He knows our intentions. So if we got sins in our life, the only prayer that He will hear is first the prayer of repentance, right? Our hearts need to be right with God. And when our hearts are right with God, we seek His will, not ours. We're not careful, we'll start praying for our will to be done and not His. We may pray for a more comfortable lifestyle, a more easy life, I guess you say. You could pray for $1 million. It's not, or to win the lottery. That's not necessarily in God's will for our lives. Maybe He chooses for us to be uncomfortable. Maybe He chooses us to be poor. Because in that poorness brings humbleness and brokenness. A God can use a man and a woman who is humble for Him and broken before Him. I know this ain't popular with the progressive Christianity. If you have not heard that term before, progressive Christianity, it's not biblical. And I encourage you guys to look progressive Christianity up, because it's been spreading like wildfire in today's Christian churches. And it will, be the new form of Christianity in the end, and the what we would, I guess we would coin, or what has been coined by others, is historical Christianity, that is believing that the Word of God is the Word of God, right? And I know it's talking about poor, being poor and being humble in heart. This doesn't appeal to the mainstream prosperity gospel, but it's biblical. Just look at Jesus. Matthew 8:20, and Jesus said unto them, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. Wow. This was during Jesus' ministry, right? He did not have a permanent place to lay His head. You even could say He was homeless. This does not sell. I encourage you to go to any big time televangelist or mega pastor. They ain't gonna preach on this. There might be one exception, maybe. But while I've done my research, they preach a watered down version of the gospel, the prosperity gospel being one of the probably most prominent. But within that prosperity gospel, you have the progressive Christianity too. So they kind of are working hand to hand. The prosperity gospel from the mainstream is that if you give us your tithes, you give us your money, God will bless you beyond your means. You will have that nice car, and you will have that nice vehicle and home. And nah, what are you gonna do with scriptures like Matthew 8:20? You can't. Although the prosperity gospel sells, and many of them are making millions and millions of dollars. I mean, that's just the world we're living in today, is people will cling to those instead of the truth, the true word of God. You will not hear many say, if you want to follow Jesus, you might be homeless. You will not see many jumping in line to sign up for that one. But it's a reality, right? It could happen. This is not our home anyway. The key here, though, is God hears our prayers. He hears our prayers. But he may not answer you the way you want him to answer. And repentance is very important. I always like to start my prayers out. Here I am, God. If there be sin in my life, forgive me. Just, you see my heart, you know my intentions. Guide me in the direction. You know, that's, you know, and of course we all pray differently, or in, you know, but, you know, that's the center of it, right? We want to make sure our hearts are in the right positions before God. Verse 2. Oh, ye sons of man, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Shallah. Here is David now directing his attention to man. He's asking several questions. How long will ye or you turn my glory into shame? I know when I look at this world, I get that way. You know, you're preaching from the Bible, right? But you got those, when you look out, they're pleasing man. They're teaching a counter gospel. And when they look at people like me that are standing on the Word of God, they will slander our names. When we preach that God expects us to be holy and righteous, they'll say, look at that. That is out of date terms. We don't have to be holy and we don't have to be righteous. And God's okay with our sinning because He loves us too much and grace covers it all. And that grace does cover. But the thing is, that is what we call a hyper grace movement. You can keep on sinning, and God still loves you. No. If you're not driven to repentance over your sin, you're okay with living in that lifestyle. You're not a child of God. But they will look at that and say, that is unloving. That is hateful. Just warning others, right? Warning others, saying, if you do not turn from your wickedness, there will be an eternity, a lifetime of separation from God. There will be a hell. To me, it is unloving and very hateful to not warn others. If someone was in the middle of the highway and a big semi-truck is about to hit them, most would warn that person that day, get out of the road. Get out of the road, you're about to die. Of course, God knows our hearts. And I can understand there's people that will, what we would call it, slap people beside the head with the Bible. Beat them. That is hateful and unloving. We should always operate in wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit when we're witnessing to others. Get to know someone, right? Everybody has a story. Invest in someone. We can learn more about that person. And I'm not talking about compromising. I'm talking about taking time to listen to that person and their story. And within that story, you will have the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And they may already know somewhat about Jesus, but they may have not been told the full message of the gospel. Within that, you could lead somebody to Jesus. We should... we should not let the world rub off on us. We should rub off on the world. That second question there is, how long will ye love vanity and seek leasing, that is, falsehood? If we love Jesus as much as we love ourselves, man, this world would be a better place, right? If people say who they truly are, then pretend who they aren't, man, this world would be a better place. I believe. A lot of people hiding their intentions. You know, the two commandments that Jesus gives us in Matthew 22:36-40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all your soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And all these two commandments hang all. It hangs all of it. The law and the prophets. If you can love God with everything you got, your whole being, you can love God with everything, you will keep His law and the prophets. If you can love your neighbor as thyself, you can keep the law and the prophet. You will want to. But the thing is, are we truly having that passion, desire, and we just want to have that Sunday hallelujah service and then the rest of the day live like wherever we want to live like? You're not loving God with everything you got. Your very being should be a light throughout the week. Your passion to study the Word of God should be unending. A prayer on your mind daily, praying without ceasing, should be our cry. A praise and worship, a praise on our lips, a worship in our hearts. And to see our neighbors as ourselves, to love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. Oh, how we could do these things. How long will you love vanity and seek leasing? This is David speaking to men, those in his area. He's speaking to them. And then now he brings back to what I would call a self-talk here. He starts talking to himself, right? Verse 3, but how that the Lord has set apart him that is godly. For himself the Lord will hear when I call upon him. God he hears David. But know that the Lord has set apart that is godly. God separates us from that world. For himself the Lord will hear when I call. God is listening. As we talked on about prayer, God hears, but our hearts need to be in the right position. Verse 4 says, stand in awe, sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still, shallah. Awe. That is what we need to have, right? To stand in awe. I don't know if you guys would go out there at night, and I like to sometimes, and you just look at the sky, and if it's a clear night, you can see all the stars. And if you have a blanket or hammock or something, you want to look at a source course in Louisiana, you got to make sure you have plenty mosquito and bug spray, because we got big mosquitoes out here and bugs. But when you're looking at the stars, man, it's amazing, right? God placed every star in the sky. When you study space, it's amazing how many galaxies there are. We cannot even comprehend how fast the outer space is. But God stretched the heavens right. If you just look at the human anatomy, we are walking miracles. How are we designed? Our neurons, our transmitters from birth to adulthood. If you ever get an opportunity to look at pictures of a baby's neural transmitters or neurons when they're born, it's like a light show going on because they're making connections. It's like firecrackers in the mind, right? Our mind, our hearts, our nerves, our muscles. All right. God created us. God created this universe. God created, and He is standing all right. And when we stand in awe, we sin not, right? That's the goal. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. You see, that awe should leave us in the presence of God morning and night, right? And when we do that, we want to closely commune. We want to closely connect with God on a daily basis. And when we do that through prayer and worship and praise, our heart is placed in a right position. And our heart starts focusing on what God needs us to do and what He needs us to deal with and what we need to grow, right? And a lot of us may not understand where we're at in our life right now and the positions that we are. You know, I don't understand why I'm in the position I am at work. I don't. My heart yearns full-time ministry. But God has not decided that yet. So I pray and I seek Him and I tell Him, God, it's all yours. You know my heart. I love outreach. I would love to get involved in a big outreach program reaching those for Christ. And God knows my heart. And when the time is right, He will provide. He will provide it. Verse 5, David says, offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Sacrifices of righteousness and putting trust in the Lord. And I hit on this earlier a little bit, you know, about the Old Testament and this all, you know, sacrifices that was offered to the Lord. But David understood all of it was useless if he did not trust the Lord and believe in the promises that were given. And one of those promises earlier we spoke on was Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. Be strong, right? Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he that do good go with thee. I don't think I wrote that right down, but let's look back up here. For the Lord thy God, he is that do good with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He will not leave you. Now you may have to grow in your situation, and many of us do not want to grow. It's painful. But we have to grow. You know, they would present a lamb, you know, and presenting this sacrifice in the Old Testament was a trust. That was service, right? To obey is saying that I trust the Lord and what He has promised to me, right? So offering that sacrifice was a trust. It was a sign of obedience to point to that trust that you have in God and the promises that He promise, right? But today we have that perfect lamb, right? The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, for the lamb that take away the sins of the world. John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him shall not perish but have ever lasting life, right? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. The world might be saved through Jesus Christ, that perfect Lamb. And of course it goes in verse 18, speaking, those that he believe, they are not condemned, but those that believe not on his name, the only begotten Son of God, they are condemned. Right? For Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, had to die on that cross. The blood had to fall, had to be shed, right? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness of sin. And that is what we would call the atonement. The atonement. And today we offer our lives up as sacrifices. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says this, I beseech ye therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. We present our body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and good and acceptable perfect will of God. This is your reasonable service. This is what we are supposed to be doing every day. We are presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, right? Here I am, God. Use me as you see fit. Not my will, but your will be done. I surrender all. I count the cost. I am all in. Regardless what it is, grow me. I want to look more like you and less of myself. That should be a daily cry in our prayers. We should seek to walk in step with the will of God, to step in that fruit of the Holy Spirit. God, let my love look like your love. Let my long suffering look like your long suffering. I know that ain't popular. You know, praying, break me, mold me, make me in the man you need me to be. Or if you're listening, you're a woman, make me in the woman you need me to be. Mold me so I can reach others. Our time is drawing near. Lord, let my goodness look like yours, God. Only you are good, God. God is good all the time, right? Regardless of our situation. And all the time, God is good. All right, let my gentleness look like yours, like Galatians 5, guys. Meekness and temperance. Joy and peace and faith. Walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. We should offer our life as a sacrifice to our God. That is our reasonable service, to present our life holy. And I know that word holy is not popular. I'm not talking about a self-righteous holiness, beat somebody over the head, Bible. And here's the thing. Somebody that is lost in that world cannot understand the holiness and the righteousness of God. They have to first come to understanding that there is more to this life than what they can see. There's more to this life than having faith in their self or having faith in the government to provide their needs. This life will come to an end, and we as children of God will spend eternity in heaven with God. Of course, the new heaven and new earth when he comes down. But in those who do not accept and believe and confess, they will not spend that time with God. They will spend in separation. Right? We're talking about holiness here. It's talking about those that are supposed to be, that have accepted Christ truly into their heart, and now they yearn for the things that are God. And it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can live a life that is pleasing and that is holy to God. Right? And that is acceptable unto the God, and that is our reasonable service, because the Holy Spirit that is in us lives in us. He guides us. He directs our life. And that's how we're not conformed to this world. See, this world should make us happy. This world should not be where we're placing our hope. This world should not be where we're placing our faith. Instead, we are supposed to transform by the renewing of our mind that is Christ-like. We are supposed to have a Christ-like mind that is good and acceptable and a perfect will of God. Amen. And that's where we'll stop tonight. And we got a little bit farther than the last couple sessions. So the Holy Spirit just kind of just flowed through those. And the last section we will look at, the last verses, Lord willing, next week, will be verse 6 through 8. Take-home messages, right? Take-home messages. And I encourage you guys to go back and listen to part 1 and part 2. This is part 3. We will go through things in this life. We will have storms in this life. It's because we live in a world, a cultural, or a world, we'll just say world, we live in a world that is cursed. Adam and Eve, you go back to Genesis 2 through 3, they were living in paradise, and there's this movie called Paradise Lost, done by Genesis, I think. It's a really good, documentary. I encourage you guys to check them out. The same Cam Ham and Ray Comfort, very solid Bible teachers. They did that kind of that series or that movie, but the paradise was lost. God gave Adam and Eve a commandment. The commandment was, do not eat of that tree, the tree that was in the midst of that garden. And you can go back to Genesis 2 and 3 and read that. And of course, what they do, they disobeyed God and they took of the tree, and then cursed, that sin came into our world, right? And now, because we live under that curse in this world, we will experience things in this world, right? That's why we see all the bad things happening. Where we see all the evil. That's why we see kids starving to death. It is because the government, it's because of the people. They serve the God of this world, which is Satan. Which Satan wants to say, you know, here it is. Do it your way. Do not worry about anybody else but yourself. The thing is, if our government, if people truly would repent of their ways and position themselves in scriptures, no one would go hungry at night. No one would. The thing is, we're so far removed from that type of mindset. Key is, do not blame God for things that you're seeing going on. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to try to trick you and get you where you're questioning your faith and doubting your walk with God. And when he can do that, then he just keeps on dominant, keeps on putting more and more and more on you. And David says here in verse 1, and about to hear me when I call God of my righteousness, and that part, thou has enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy on me, hear my prayer. David seen the hand of God in motion, and he understood the mercy that God had for him and that he had for others around him. And he said, hear my prayer. He knew God was listening when he got his mind right. And then when he directs that conversation here, he's speaking of the sons of men and how long will they turn my glory into shame. He is looking at the world around him and say, what is going on? And we can be the same way, right? We can look at the world and say, what is going on? When everything looks like it's falling apart, here's the key. It's falling right into place. Everything that we're seeing today has to happen. It has to happen for Jesus to come back. We need to get our perspective wrapped around that. When we're seeing these things, it shouldn't create a spirit of fear. It should create a spirit of a joy. Because our Lord is coming back. That is that blessed hope, right? That is that lively hope that keeps me pressing on. When I'm looking around, I'm like, look at that and look at that. And I'm like, oh man, what's going on? And you know, they're teaching our kids at a young age about homosexuality. And I just read an article today that the school in Chicago is offering little kids condoms. I mean, come on, what's going on? It all has to take place. You got critical race theory, I encourage you to look that up. You got progressive Christianity. You have all these things. It all has to take place because Jesus has to come back. And as the time draws near, those will get progressively worse. But we should not look at it as hopelessness. Famines will come, storms will come, they will intensify, but that should not bring us to a point of spirit of fear. It should give us hope that we know everything has to take place because our God is coming back. The same God who, when we look up in the stars and we see all in the heavens and look at all the stars, and God placed all those stars in place, right? Amen. We stand in awe. And when it's just amazing, right? And when we do that, we want to, our hearts fill with awe and excitement, right? And we want to seek God more than ourselves. And we want to walk more in that light than the darkness. And we want to yearn more to be sinless than sinful more. We want to commune with God daily from the morning to night, right? And know that He is God, and we are not, and we can be still, right? And we should be willing to offer our life as a living sacrifice to a holy and righteous God. That is our reasonable service, right? And we should want to seek more to love God with everything we got and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We start getting the heart of God, and we start seeking Him. More of Him and less of us. More of Him and less of us. That's what David came out of all this. And next week we'll look at from him speaking to God and speaking to man. In that last part, he's speaking of what God has done for him and how God has grown him. As we bow and pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking You for the opportunity, Lord, to go through Psalms 4. As we wrap these messages up, God, I pray that whoever's out there that wherever they may be going through. Doing these podcasts, you don't really see faces. You don't really get much response. But I know somebody, if it's just one person, may come across this and hear it. Not tonight. 5 months from now, a year from now, who knows? God, I pray that it reaches the hearts, encourages the soul. It directs their path to the cross, where the blood was shed. The love that we can't grasp. The love that is amazing. Amazing grace. How sweet the name. And the mercy that endures forever. The mercy and the grace. It all points to the cross. It points to the blood that was shed. The ultimate Lamb of God shed for our sins. The sins of this world. Nothing that He did on that cross. He gave His life because of nothing He done, but because of everything we have done. And He says that we don't have to go to hell. We may have to suffer a little bit on this earth. But don't worry. Our suffering is little compared to what He has prepared for us. God, oh Lord, I pray that You just be with us the rest of this week. You guide us and direct us, Lord. I pray that You protect those that are pressing on, God, and the attacks. I know I get attacked a lot, but God, we keep on pressing on. We keep pushing toward the mark. We know that our time is drawing near. Don't let the things of this world create a spirit of fear and doubts and pull us away from You, God. Let it grow through the things we see this world, knowing that our time is nearing. And that should put a smile on our face because we know what's waiting for us. But it should also create a feeling of sorrow, knowing that many millions will not make it to heaven. They will taste of hell forever. And God, Lord, let our hearts be in mourning for that. And wherever You have us in our life, our ministry, it may be at work or it may be at school, it may be just driving down the road, it may be whatever. Let our light shine so we can reach those that You placed in our path. With the gospel, the good news. We pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night. If you guys need to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me through Facebook. Through this website, go straight to the email. If Facebook eventually shuts me down and shuts a bunch of other people down on Facebook, you can always go to my website. If they shut the internet down, then yeah, that's just what it is. But y'all have a good night. Love y'all. Bye.